Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is the Thursday edition of The Cross in the Desert, which means we're continuing on our in-depth chronological study of the Book of Revelation. Today is Thursday, May 6th, 2021. Last week on the broadcast, we began that last half of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And when we ended up last week in chapter 8, we began with a very important statement that prepares us for this week. John says that in heaven, there was a half an hour of silence. And the reason why is because God was preparing his saints in heaven, a preview of the terror and the wrath that he was about to unleash upon the earth. And we who are in heaven, the raptured church, when we have given an idea of what is going to happen in this last 3.5 years, there's silence because we're awestruck. We're overwhelmed. And it's something I need to point out today before our study. It's absolutely true that God is a God of love and compassion, long-suffering and patience. I think that most of us, if we go back in our Christian conversion experience, we were drawn to God by his love and his mercy. But what were we saved from? Well, it's true we're saved from our sin and ourselves, but we're saved from the wrath of God. And the church is spared the hour of God's wrath, and that's why they're taken to heaven before this incredible 7-year period begins. We have to come to terms with the fact that God is a God not only of a love and compassion, but absolute holiness and righteousness. And he saves his wrath or reserves his wrath for his enemies. And right now on the earth, the world is emancipated. It's drawn to the Antichrist, Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet, the unholy, ungodly Trinity, seemingly has the world in its grips. But God is going to do something about that situation, and you're going to see that today in our study. This tribulation period, especially this last 3.5 years, is to bring ecological judgment upon the earth and its earth dwellers to prepare for the Lord's return. It will bring them under submission to prepare for the Lord's return. And these are known as the trumpet judgments. We're looking at Revelation chapters 8 and 9 today. And we're going to see this God of absolute holiness and righteousness pouring out judgment upon this earth. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Revelation chapter 8. We're going to be taking a look today at verses 7 through 12, especially the trumpet judgments. We've had the seal judgments in Revelation chapter 6. We're about to enter into the trumpet judgments, which will be followed by the bowl judgments. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, the first trumpet sounds, and as a result of the first trumpet, the angel coming to the throne, lifting up his trumpet, as you will, and announcing this first round of judgments. The intensity of God's judgment is increasing. When the first trumpet sound, hail and fire mixed with blood is thrown down upon the earth, and one-third of the earth is burned up. You hear so much today about climate change. Well, let me assure you, this is definitely climate change. In the second trumpet, verse 8, a great mountain burning with fire is thrown into the sea. Now, I think of this great mountain, and I'm curious, could this be an asteroid? We hear about asteroids that travel millions of light years away to the earth. This is a great mountain, Revelation chapter 8, verse 8, burning with fire. It sounds like, it looks almost like an asteroid, hurling down to the sea. And as a result, one-third of the sea becomes blood. Doesn't this remind you of the book of Exodus and Moses and Aaron as they demand that the Pharaoh release the people of Israel, the Hebrew children, let them go so they can worship God? And when he refuses because of his hardened heart, the plagues begin to unfold in Egypt. One of those plagues was the Nile River being turned to blood. Here we see another example of that. When the great mountain is thrown into the sea, one-third of the sea becomes blood. In verse 9, a continuation of the second trumpet, one-third of the living creatures in the sea died. One-third of the ships were destroyed. That number is interesting, one-third. It's almost like God is saying to the unholy Trinity, you're impotent, one-third. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. Here God is saying, I'm going to take back the earth. One-third of the living creatures in the sea are going to die. One-third of the ships are going to be destroyed. I would hope at this time the people, the earth dwellers, are getting the message. God is not playing games. In verse 10, the third trumpet sounds, and there's a great star. It's blazing like a torch. It fell on one-third of the rivers and springs of water. That great star, interestingly enough, has a name called Wormwood. One-third of the waters were poisoned, are contaminated, and many people died. So we see these ecological judgments, the hail, the fire, the great mountain, the asteroid. It attacks our agriculture. A third of the earth is burned up. A third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the waters are poisoned by wormwood. And then on verse 12, we have the fourth trumpet judgment. One-third of the sun, one-third of the moon, one-third of the stars were struck. And because of that, a third of them were darkened. There was no sun for a third of the day. Again, remember what Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse about the signs in the sky. It really plays out here in Revelation 8 as we look at these ecological judgments. And the moon becomes blood. That is what Jesus was talking about. It becomes darkened here, but you get the idea. It's a sign of God's great judgment. So chapter 8, is that ecological judgment upon the earth. And now as we go to chapter 9, I want us to understand what's going on here. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power of scorpions of the earth. This is the fifth trumpet judgment. This is a man, a star, really is a man, who has been given the key to the bottomless pit. Where on earth is this bottomless pit? Well, no one knows for sure. We think about the cosmological statements in the Bible, and the people of Israel, the Hebrews, were trying to say in their own words, places like heaven is up and hell is down. But this bottomless pit, I wonder if it's one of the black holes in the galaxies, one of the black holes in space, where this man, this star, is given the key to the bottomless pit. He opens the pit, and as a result of opening the pit, locusts come upon the earth. These locusts, they're very, very interesting. I want us to understand about these locusts. So we're going to read again from Revelation chapter 9, verses 7 through 11. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into the battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. And they have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek it's called Apollyon. So locusts appear like horses. They're prepared for battle. We got that and we understand that. They have crowns of gold on their heads. They have human-like faces. They have hair like women, teeth like a lion's teeth, breastplates of iron, tails like scorpion. This is horrendous. They sting all of the inhabitants on earth for 5 months. Can you imagine that torment? These are evil angels from the black hole, from the bottomless pit. Now, something very interesting. Who are these evil angels in Revelation 9? Now, this is a controversial teaching of Scripture, and this has been discussed by many great theologians. One of my favorite ones, teacher and author John MacArthur, the evil angels in Revelation 9 are more than likely the same angels called the sons of God in Genesis 6, which had sexual intercourse with the women. They didn't marry them. They took wives, meaning they had sex with them, but they violated the God-ordained order of human marriage and procreation. These were the angels that had sex with the human race in Genesis 6. These are the same angels here. That is what God brought God's judgment upon the human race in the form of a worldwide flood. God brought judgment. He was going to destroy all of the human race because of this illicit sex between angels and women. And the only people that escaped was Noah and his family. They weren't tainted by the sexual corruption. They had pure blood, and they were saved through the flood. God spared Noah and his family. Why? So that they can continue on the human race in order to bring about the birth of the promised Messiah. Again, Satan trying to thwart God's plan way back in Genesis 6, because remember in Genesis 3, God promised the coming Redeemer and Messiah through the human race. And what you know, Satan thought, I will stop that, but God said, no, you won't. And he brought great judgment upon the human race. so that the promised Messiah could come through the human lineage. Later on in Genesis, we see this great Nephilim, giants in the land, and I think they are these fallen angels, again, that we are looking at here in Revelation chapter 9. Now, going on, Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held his trumpet, this is the sixth trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River. Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned to loose to kill one-third of the people on earth. Again, that one-third. This introduces the kings from the east that are going to cross the great Euphrates River along with other forces to gather together to go to Israel to destroy the Hebrews, the Jewish people. We're going to stop right here on this sixth trumpet. And I want to say something about the last verse in this chapter, verse 20. It says, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the work of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and the silver and the brass of stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. You would say, kidding me, this great wrath of God being poured out, and they refused to repent, not only of the works of their hands, not only of their idol worship and following Antichrist, but not only of that, but of their murders, their sorceries, their immorality, and their thefts. The scorpion stings should have sent a clear message. You would think people would be on their knees crying out for God's mercy. And instead, they continued to harden their heart, just like Pharaoh, when he saw all the plagues that Moses was bringing upon the Egyptians. He still hardened his heart. And in the same way, the earth dwellers prefer the Antichrist to the holy God of the universe. It's really hard to understand. And as you think about these trumpet judgments, and this is where we're going to stop today, this last 3.5 years is so intense. It started with the seal judgment. It went on with the trumpet and will continue with the bowls. What is the purpose for it? Again, preparing for the Lord's return, the establishment of God's kingdom upon the earth, Revelation chapter 11. All of these judgments have a purpose, these ecological judgments on the earth, to bring its earth dwellers under submission in preparation for the Lord's return, because when Jesus returns with us and establishes that thousand-year millennial reign, this world will be recreated, and he will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was thinking this morning, what song depicts this great judgment that is coming on the earth? And I found one. He is Kerry Livgren, the famous guitar player, keyboardist, and singer-songwriter from the band Kansas. I want you to hear a song that I think sums up this fury that's coming upon the earth. Let's listen. We'll be right back. Kari Livgren, A.D., a song that probably is very appropriate for our study this morning on the trumpet judgments. That music, I think, depicts in a graphic way what exactly, in our thinking, will happen. I don't know that we can imagine that. Again, the book of Revelation is a very visual book, dramatic book, very intense book, and this is the most intense part of this book, the trumpet judgments. Jesus says, "He who hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has everlasting life and does not come into the judgment, but is passed from death to life." Do you know Jesus? Have you received him as Lord and Savior in your heart, in your life? Because he promises, if you have, you will not come into this judgment, to this wrath, but Jesus says you have passed out of death into life. These are some of the most powerful words ever uttered on our planet, and it comes from the lips, the teaching, and the heart of Jesus. There is a coming wrath. There is a day of reckoning and judgment. And the Bible says that you can escape that judgment by knowing Christ. When we come face to face with our sins and we recognize that we deserve that wrath, but God in his mercy put that wrath upon his Son, when we understand and embrace that truth, we can understand that our sins are wicked. They deserve his wrath, but God in his mercy has spared us. How? When we believe and embrace and trust in Jesus, that is applied to our lives. And the Bible says we pass out of death unto life. Is that you today? Do you have that relationship with Jesus? Do you know him? When you look at this teaching today and you recognize the last verse of chapter 9, they did not repent. It should send chills up your spine. How can this people not repent? But that's how hard. That's what sin does. It's a deceptive poison. And we think that this pandemic is bad. We don't understand the pandemic that's about to come on this earth. It's frightening. But we who are the church, we who are in Christ Jesus won't see it at all. And I'm thankful that God has promised to deliver us from that hour and from his wrath. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the cross in the desert. Have yourself an incredible, good, and safe weekend. And I will see you here again on the Monday morning edition of The Cross in the Desert. Have a safe and happy weekend, and I will see you then.